stars and stripes. Dumpster fire vibe. Come on. All American why? All American why? All American why? Ask yourself the American why.
Hello, my excessive thinkers. Welcome to All American Why. Before we get into anything heavy, I want to start here. I know that you're tired. I know that you're burnt out. Not I stayed up too late scrolling on my phone tired. Not I need a nap and a croissant or a donut or both tired. I mean the kind of tired where your nervous system has been running on a low-level emergency setting for years. The kind of tired where the news feels like a continuous stress test, where every single headline feels like it could plausibly be the one that finally breaks something important, and where every quiet moment feels suspicious, like, why is it quiet? Who just filed what? Why is that trending? What shoe is about to drop? The kind of tired where every time something awful happens, there's an unspoken expectation that you immediately understand it, contextualize it, defend your reaction, explain it to someone at Thanksgiving, and then still show up to work the next morning, like democracy didn't just trip over its own shoelaces and faceplant in public. It's that kind of tired. You're burnt out. The world feels like it's on fire, because it is. Democracy feels fragile. Institutions feel hollowed out, like impressive buildings with increasingly questionable load-bearing walls and a suspicious amount of duct tape, hopefully holding everything together. And we're being told, very politely, to just keep going. Scroll past it. Move on. Don't dwell. Look forward, not backward. Be civil. But some things just don't let you move on until you actually understand them. That's why this podcast exists. All American Why is a show for people who ask too many questions, don't trust tidy explanations for messy realities, and get deeply suspicious when something enormous happens and everyone immediately insists it's fine. It's for people who laugh because if they don't laugh, they might scream or cry or all of them at the same time or bang their head against the wall and whisper, are we seriously doing this or still doing this? All of those reactions are welcome here. If you ever watched the news and thought we are absolutely not done with that, congratulations. You're an excessive thinker and you're in the right place. A quick word about me. I'm your host, Michael Jonas. I'm a lawyer by training, a nonprofit and small business advisor by trade, and someone who has spent a lot of time inside systems watching how power behaves when it's uncomfortable. I've worked with institutions that genuinely want to do good, institutions that say they want to do good, and institutions that are far more interested in preserving revenue, influence, and control than answering hard moral questions. I don't come to this as a pundit. I come to this as someone who reads footnotes, sits in meetings, and notices when everyone suddenly agrees not to notice something. I've learned over the years that when facts don't make sense morally, politically, or logically, they usually make perfect sense financially. Which brings us to a recurring theme on the show. Sometimes the answer is complicated, sometimes the answer is deeply uncomfortable, and sometimes the answer is same as it always is or was. Follow the money. Because outrage is free, monetized outrage is very profitable. And democracy, it turns out, is terrible for quarterly earnings when it starts asking hard questions. Unless we untether corporate greed from moral imperatives, unless profit stops being treated as morally neutral, no matter the damage, we're going to stay stuck cycling between this crisis or that crisis forever. Shocked every time. Change never. If you're not here to solve problems or at least understand why they keep repeating, what are you doing here? This show is about context, about incentives, about acknowledging when the question still remains instead of pretending uncertainty means ignorance. In future episodes, I'll be interviewing historians, constitutional scholars, journalists, organizers, policymakers, and people who have lived inside the systems we're talking about. We'll unpack power, money, law, culture, and the uncomfortable intersections between them. We'll laugh sometimes, we'll cry sometimes, we'll sigh very deeply, and yes, sometimes we'll bang our head gently or not so gently against the wall together. This first episode sets the foundation. I don't have a guest today, but I will probably have guests in the future. Today's episode is about a question that seems simple, but is extremely inconvenient. Why is the insurrection a warning we still haven't learned from? Because on January 6, 2021, while Congress was meeting to certify the results of the 2020 presidential election, a violent mob breached the United States Capitol in an effort to stop that certification. That certification process was not ceremonial fluff. It is required by the Constitution and the Electoral Count Act. It is the mechanism that allows a peaceful transfer of power to occur. And on January 6th, that process was interrupted by force. This was the first time in United States history that a presidential transition of power failed to be peaceful. Not delayed in court, not contested through recounts, failed. Not because the ballots were not counted, not because courts didn't work, but because violence was used to try to stop the process itself. That is a threat to democracy. And it didn't come out of nowhere. Between November 2020 and January 2021, then President Donald Trump and his allies promoted false claims that the election had been stolen. More than 60 court cases challenging the results failed. Judges appointed by Republicans and Democrats rejected those claims. Republican secretaries of state certified the results anyways. The Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency called the election the most secure in American history. Trump's own Attorney General William Barr stated publicly in December of 2020 that the DOJ had found no evidence of widespread fraud. The lie continued anyways, because repetition works, because outrage is profitable, because grievance is a business model. Fundraising emails went out within hours of court losses. Tens of millions of dollars were raised on claims campaign lawyers already knew were false. Much of that money did not go to legal challenges. It went to PACs, consultants, and media ecosystems. Again, follow the money. Trump told supporters to come to Washington, D.C. on January 6, saying it would be wild. At a rally that morning, he repeated false claims of fraud, told the crowd to fight like hell, and directed them toward the Capitol while Congress was in session. He was informed that some rally attendees were armed. He complained that magnetometers, or magnetometers, however you say that word, were keeping people out. He wanted weapons to be there, and he sent the crowd towards Congress. Inside the Capitol, lawmakers were evacuated or barricaded. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was a specific target. Chants of "Where's Nancy?" echoed through the halls. A gallows was erected outside. Her office was vandalized. Her staff hid under desk. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez later described hiding in her office bathroom, believing she might die, unsure whether the person trying to enter was law enforcement or part of the mob. This is not political theater. This is trauma. More than 140 law enforcement officers were injured. Rioters used bear spray, pepper spray, metal poles, batons, riot shields, and improvised weapons. Some wore tactical gear and coordinated movements using radios. Pipe bombs were planted near the Democratic and Republican National Committee headquarters. If this was a tour It was aggressively interactive. 5 stars for enthusiasm. 0 stars for respect for our constitutional order. Intelligence warnings existed in advance. Security requests were denied or delayed. The failure was not a lack of information. It was a failure of preparation and leadership. And yet, almost immediately afterward, we were told, even though we saw it with our own eyes on TV and repeated over and over again, to minimize it. We were told that it was overblown. We were told that it was basically a tour. We were told to move on. Why? Because acknowledging the truth would require accountability, and accountability is bad for business. Now let's talk about the law that exists for moments like this. The Insurrection Act of 1807 allows a president to deploy federal troops or the National Guard domestically to suppress rebellion or protect constitutional rights. It has historically been used to enforce democracy, not to undermine it. Abraham Lincoln used it during the Civil War. Ulysses S. Grant used it against the KKK. Dwight Eisenhower used it in 1957 to enforce school desegregation in Little Rock. On January 6th, the legal conditions were met. Congress was under violent attack. The transfer of power was threatened. The constitutional order needed protection. And yet, the Insurrection Act was not invoked to protect Congress. The authority existed, the tools existed, the will did not. And that matters. Now let's talk about what happened next and where we are now. After Senate Republicans blocked an independent bipartisan commission, the House formed the January 6th Select Committee in July of 2021. That committee included Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, 2 Republicans who followed the evidence, told the truth, and were politically punished for it. The committee reviewed over 1 million documents, conducted more than 1,000 interviews, and concluded that January 6th was the culmination of a multi-step effort to overturn the election. This included pressure on state officials, fake elector schemes in multiple states, attempts to weaponize the Department of Justice, pressure on Vice President Mike Pence, who was almost hung that day, and the final effort to disrupt certification by force. This wasn't chaos, it was escalation. The committee issued criminal referrals and revived debate over Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which bars individuals who engage in insurrection from holding office. The committee concluded its work in December of 2022. Since then, more than 1,200 people have been charged. As we know, many of them have been able to expunge or vacate their sentences, and many of them have been rearrested again. Many political figures who promoted the lie faced no consequences, including Donald Trump. Some have gained power, some are running for office again, some are raising more money than ever. Again, follow the money. Election workers resigned in record numbers. Threats against officials increased, security costs permanently rose, and planning for future elections now includes contingencies for political violence, and we have been seeing more and more political violence than ever. Globally, America's reputation as a stable democracy took a hit. Authoritarian leaders openly cited January 6th as proof that democratic norms are fragile. The evidence is public, the facts are established, the warning is clear. January 6th didn't just test laws. It tested whether we are willing to enforce them when enforcement is inconvenient, expensive, or politically risky. Unless we untether corporate greed from moral imperatives, unless profit stops excusing harm, we will keep cycling through this or that crisis forever. And that's why All American Why exists. We may not always have the answers, but we will always acknowledge that the question still remains. We will follow the incentives, we will follow the money, and we will insist on context, and that includes not being gaslit. So if you're an excessive thinker, this is your invitation. It's giving stars, stripes, and dumpster fire vibes. Together we'll laugh, cry, and ask why. Because curiosity is still an act of courage, and this is where we practice it. Well, it looks like we've reached the end of this episode of All American Why. If you made it this far, congratulations. You're officially an excessive thinker too. If something today made you laugh, cringe, or reconsider everything you thought you understood about this country, good. Well, that's the point. Subscribe, rate, review, and share All American Why wherever you get your podcast, including on YouTube. Or don't. It's still a free country. For now, you can find me, Michael Jonas, on social media or at allamericanwhy.com, where we're building a community for people who still give a damn. All American Why is recorded at Sasquatch Media Grounds in Vancouver, Washington. Original music by Renezra and Views. Audio editing by Kyle Gilmore of Residual Audio. Until next time, keep your curiosity loud, your optimism spiteful, and your democracy under constant surveillance. This is All American Why. Thanks for listening.
All American Why. All American Why. All American Why. Ask yourself the American Why.